Does it matter which one? Good. Good morning, everybody. Great to see you here, and it's great to be here. And thank you for your welcome. I think this will work like this. If my head explodes, I'll change it around. It's great to be here, and I hope your Christmas was a blessed time and that you're looking forward to the new year. We've just come back. We came back yesterday from down south. We did around Melbourne and up to Sydney and back up, and we were in a church in Sydney at Morling College in their kitchen area, and we're sitting there and we're going through the service there, and we saw this lady sitting down the front, and Faith says to me, "Is that our old next door neighbour, you know, from the Sunshine Coast?" I said, sort of looks like her, you know. And so Faith, being the extrovert in the family, decided to go and ask her. And I'm thinking, well, yeah, I wouldn't do that. But anyway, that's all right. So off she goes and she says, you know, "Hello, are you our next door neighbour from..." No, she didn't say that, but she did something else. She said, no, she wasn't. But you know who it was? It was Julie Russell. And some of you would know Julie. So anyone know, remember Julie? Okay, Julie and Danny. And it was great. And she sends her greetings to you all. And it was great to catch up with her. We knew Julie and Danny. And as I was talking to her, and we talked a little bit about the church here and, you know, the way that it's developed and the way the Lord's worked, I was so encouraged to think through, you know, Julie and Danny's time, and then through Neil and Leanne, and just, you know, sort of been keeping vague track as we go along. And here we are, and what a journey. And isn't it great to see God's hand and to know that God is working, and God's working in so many different ways. So, yeah, greetings from them. We're going to be here while John and Karen are on a well-earned long service leave. And I'm planning to be in town on Mondays and Tuesdays generally. So if you've got a cup of coffee you don't know what to do with, come and see me. I'll help you out. Happy to chat. So over the next couple of months, we'll be looking at Paul's letter to the Philippians. So I encourage you to go home and read that letter before next Sunday. There'll be a test. If you don't pass the test, you don't get morning tea. Okay? And we'll also have some homework to do as a church before John and Karen get back, which includes a pastoral review and more details to follow on that. But for this morning, we're going to be looking at Luke and that story there. Now, I don't know how you feel about that because, you know, Christmas was yesterday or the day before or whatever, and I hope you had a really good time. And we're in that funny place between Christmas and New Year, you know, with that. And you're in a peaceful zone, you know. You kind of, I know you had a great time. Anyone have a great time at Christmas? Most people did, all right? Now, I'm not going to ask you to put your hand up next. Even though you had a great time, is it good to be kind of over it a bit? Okay, you don't have to answer that. That's okay, right? You don't have to. You don't even have to nod. So all of you that nodded, you can unnod, okay? But, yeah, Christmas is over with, and all of a sudden, here we are, we're still reading a Christmas story. And you might say, wait, we've done that. But I want to have a look at that, and maybe a little bit different aspect to it this morning. Like much of the New Testament, the Christmas story, if you read it again and again and again, okay, if you don't have any depth to it, it becomes a little sort of familiar. And you can fall prey to the problem that we have sometimes with reading the New Testament and some other history books if you reread them. Okay, they become two-dimensional. Okay, so it's just information after a while, you know. And it's important for us to try and get around that. So this morning, let me see if we tried this before and it worked. So let's see if we can... Look, it works. Anybody recognize that place? Oh, some of you are vaguely familiar with it. All right, now, if I were to ask you, where can you see that red arrow? All right, so where is that red arrow pointing at? What's there? Could anybody tell me? Put your hand up if you think you could tell me. Right, okay, there's a few locals here. All right, let me ask you another question. Okay, there's a couple of shelters there, all right? If you were to face that way at that point, who thinks they would be able to describe what you see? Put your hand up if you think you could describe. Hang on. There's more of you that can describe what you see than you could tell. Okay, all right. So the reason for that is because you're brilliant, you know, and you're locals. So let's try another one. You ready? All right, here we go. Who recognizes that place? One person. You're out of this, right? No, you don't. All right, let me help you out. Hopefully, we'll get a little bit closer. You see, that's Moomba Street. Now do you recognize it? Well, some of you do. All right, okay. And there's number 45 Moomba Street. Now, who can tell me what number 45 Moomba Street looks like inside? What a pathetic mob. Why not? All right, I'll help you a little bit more. That's what it looks like from the street. Now, can you tell me what it looks like inside? No, you can't. I'll tell you, all right? In front of the black car is a garage, and above the black car is a bedroom. That's that dark cover on the window. And to the right of that, there's another cover. That's another... that was Faith's office, all right? And then below that, behind the tree, is where my office was. Can you see all that? No, you don't. No, of course. Okay. What I'm just trying to say to you there is that there's a difference that can be made no matter what sort of picture we see or description we have. If you know someone or you have been there, you read the picture differently. Okay, there's things that you understand and that you see. And it's the same with the New Testament. Okay, we can just read the Bible and go, well, it's just this information, and I make up the background to it, you know, in my head. Or we can try to somehow connect with those people who were there at the time in the situation. And today, we have more information to help us do that than we've ever had before with that. But we still have to make the effort to do that. And it's only as we connect back in there and put ourselves somehow in that situation that we can begin to get the most out of it. Otherwise, we're actually making up our own backstory, which may or may not be accurate in that. So this morning, I want to have a bit of a look at the situation there with the shepherds and with what happened there. We read about the shepherds out in the field, and an angel appeared to them, and then a host of angels, and then they got told about the arrival of the Messiah, and off they go to find the Messiah. And sometimes as I've read this, I've wanted to go, well, wait a minute, wait, well, hang on a second. Let's go back to the angels are out in the fields. So here we are. We're all sitting out on the farm, right? Out in the paddock. And all of a sudden, what? The shepherds, I know that, but we're out. Yes, okay, look, you know what I mean. Minor details, angels, shepherds, yeah. So you're sitting out in the paddock, all right? And these angels appear. And then more of them appear. And they say something to you, and you're, okay, we're off, you know. And I'm going, hang on, whoa, come on, just come back here for a second. You know, what do you mean these angels appeared? Where did these angels come from? You know, do you ever wonder about that? No. Oh, okay. All right. Well, I do. Well, you're going to enjoy the rest of the sermon, aren't you? Well, yeah, angels, you know. Google angels. You got no idea of the number of different ideas about angels. That's nothing. There's pages and pages of this, you know. And they just appear. Let's have a look at it, all right? So in Luke chapter 2, all right, it says there were shepherds living in the fields. They're keeping watch over their flocks. We were familiar with that. And an angel of the Lord appeared to them. I ask the question again. Where did they come from? Where did they come from? Keep that in your head, all right? The glory of the Lord shone around them, and they were terrified. This is important to know. Okay, if you see an angel, okay, you will be terrified. Okay, if you're not terrified, you possibly have not seen an angel, or like Abraham, you haven't necessarily recognized it's an angel straight away. But here's a really comforting fact for you, right? You will not have to work hard at being terrified. Okay, it'll come naturally. And here's comforting fact number two. Being terrified at the appearance of angels is standard practice throughout the Bible. Anytime any one of those, you see those sweet, lovely, blonde, blue-eyed, gentle, you know, beings turn up, the consistent response in Scripture is, they were terrified. Which probably says that, you know, probably angels ain't exactly like that, you know, not all the time anyway. And every angel I can think of mentioned in the Bible starts their message with, don't be afraid, kind of tells you something. Anyway, so the angels, excuse me, had the shepherds, I'm going to have trouble with this. Okay, the shepherds had an angel appear to them. Okay, and that's not an unusual thing in the Bible. Okay, possibly at this time of year, if I were to say to you, tell me an instance of an angel appearing, Mary and Joseph might come to mind. Okay, Joseph had quite a number of appearings, but I don't want to look at him because he's wearing dreams, and some people sort of say, oh, well, that doesn't count as hallucination. But there are lots of instances where people weren't hallucinating and they met angels. And sometimes they wish they were hallucinating, but, you know, they weren't. In Luke chapter 1, okay, we read of the angel. Uh-oh. Help! Thank you. No? Oh, there we go. All right, that's Joseph. So next one. Yep, in Luke 1, we see the angel appearing to Zechariah, who was going to be John the Baptist's father. He was serving in the temple, and it says, when the time for burning incense came, the worshippers were all praying outside, and the angel of the Lord appeared to him standing at the right side of the altar of incense. This was not a hallucination, right? This is outside of him. This is a person just appearing there, okay, with that. And surprise, surprise, when Zechariah saw him, he was startled and gripped with fear. This is kind of like, it's like a greeting, you know. You say, hi, how are you going? And what would you say to me? Yep, is something like, I'm going well, thanks, how are you going? So this is the appropriate, you know, greeting with an angel. If an angel appears before you, right, you say, yikes! And they say, don't be afraid. And then you can proceed, okay? That's the etiquette, all right, that happens there. So Zechariah was gripped with fear. There you go. The angel said to him, I'm Gabriel. And I stand in the presence of God. Now listen, I'm going to repeat this and I want you to keep this in your mind. This is really important. The angel answered and said, I am Gabriel. I stand in the presence of God. I have been sent to speak to you and to tell you this good news. And he said a few other things to him. Okay. But remember those things there. Okay. Because it's telling us something about who angels are, where they come from, okay, in that, and a few other things that we'll look at. Following on from that, okay, we go along a little bit more. In verse 26, all right, we read that the angel, God sent an angel to Nazareth, to Mary, okay, and the angel said greetings, and Mary was greatly troubled. You know, it's the etiquette, all right, that's there. And the angel said, don't be afraid, Mary, with that you'll be with child and give birth, you know, to a son. Now this morning, if you take nothing else away, if you take nothing else away into the next week, the next year, into the rest of your life, okay, I want you to take this reality with you. Okay, listen carefully. Angels speak to us of a different encompassing dimension to the one that we are in, of which we're a part. Let me say it again. Angels speak to us of a different encompassing dimension to the one we're in, but we're a part of that. Okay? I hope you sort of can get that. All right, in that. In other words, what you and I are experiencing here and now is not all there is. Okay? What you and I are experiencing here and now is not all there is. Gabriel said what? I come from the presence of God. I come to here. Okay? And I have a message for you. Okay? In that. And so it's important for us. There is a here where Gabriel has come to, and there is a there where God is and where Gabriel has come from, and they are connected. Okay? They are connected. This that we experience is not all that there is. Okay? We live within a much bigger thing, system, what a framework. There's a very clear statement on this in the book of Acts, and I want to refer that to you this morning. In Acts 17, Paul is talking to the Athenians, okay, in verse 27, and he's in Athens talking to the philosophers, and he says, God has done this, so men would seek him, perhaps reach out for him and find him. He is not far from each one of us, for in him we live and move and have our being, okay? Paul was actually bouncing off them some of their own thought. You see, the philosophers had worked out by reason that when you look at things around us, just like many people, many of you today may have done, right? And you go, we look around, you go, this didn't just happen. This didn't just pop into, you know, whatever, because there is cause, there is will, there is choice, there's all those things. And the philosophers said, somebody must have created this, okay? And somebody is sustaining all this. And we are all part of that and tied into that, okay? And Paul says, yeah, you're right. You're absolutely right. And I'm here to tell you who that somebody is, okay? That somebody is Jesus, okay? That someone is Jesus. What's that got to do with you and me today? If you and I don't understand that today, we may well end up having a rather futile, frustrating life. Okay, and some people, and it may be that you're one of those people here today, you know, they go through life and they go, who knows, whatever, I'll just finish off my time here, get through it, and whatever is, get that. We were not created for that. We were not created for that. And this is not all that there is. Some of you are at the start of life. Some of you are closer to the end of life. This last week, I reached a milestone. I have been dyeing my hair grey for the last few years because I want to get a senior's card, you know? So I've been dyeing my hair grey. And guess what? This week, made it. All right? So I'm going to stop dyeing my hair grey. I don't know what... I haven't worked out what I'm going to do about getting my hair back, but... you know, with that. Okay, our life moves on. And sooner or later we realize, hey, there's an end point to this. And there's a big difference about how we see our life. Is that it? That's the end of the story? Maybe. But if it's not, you know what? It changes the way that we live our life. It changes the way we see our life. And the Bible tells us very clearly, this is not all there is. And this is not all there is, okay? That there's something much bigger than that, and we are part of that. In him we live and move and have our being, and there's a purpose for that. Christmas celebration. God came into this part of the dimension to show us and to remind us, show his love for us, to help us to get connected back to him. But part of it is also to remind us this is not all there is. Okay, this is not all there is. It is my profound conviction, and when I sit with people who are dying, it's my profound conviction I would say to you, 5 seconds, if that long, after you've breathed your last breath, you'll be in the presence of Jesus. You'll be in the presence of Jesus. And you need to be ready for that. Here's the great thing. When you're ready for that, that flows back into your life now. It makes a difference to your life now. And so the angels tell us there's another dimension. It's like a curtain's been pulled open. It's interesting. I think I've got it there. Yep. This is a common way that people over the ages have depicted this scene. And they try in different ways to have this. You see, there's this like this curtain parting, or there's this barrier that's parting, and the angels come through that and they appear here and now, okay? And there's this amazing host and a multitude of angels, and then shuts. And they're gone. And the shepherds are back in the field on their own, but different. But different. Because what? Because they've seen behind the curtain. Because they've seen behind the curtain. Okay, in that. But there's also something else that's wonderful about this and is astounding about this this situation here. And I want to share that with you as an encouragement before we stop today. When we look... What happened there? Oh, there we go. Okay. So when we look at this situation, it's a little bit like... You got anyone know what this is? Fish finder. Okay? Anyone played with one of these? Put your hand up if you played with one of these. Anyone caught any fish with one of these? No. Oh, okay. I reckon they're fantastic, you know. I've used one of these and it's been awesome. I go boom and I look and I go, yep, sandbank. Very helpful thing. As far as I'm concerned, for catching fish. Yeah, not real good. But seriously, when you've used one of these, one of the things that happens is you get a picture of what's under the boat, don't you? Okay, in there you can build up a picture of what's under the boat. Now here's the thing. If there's fish there, right, you'll probably see them on the screen. Okay, you'll probably see them on the screen. Let me ask you this question. If I turn the screen off, are the fish still there? Yes, they are. Were the fish there before I turned the screen on? Yes, they were. Okay? Before the angels materialized, if you like, or turned up, was that other dimension there? Yes. After the angels are gone, was that other dimension there? Yes, it's still there today. You and I are living within that larger picture, okay? It's just we can't see it sometimes. But let me tell you the most amazing thing, the most amazing thing about this story and about this situation. The angels, right? Remember it says in Scripture that the Lamb was sacrificed before the beginning of the world. In other words, God had determined what was going to happen, that Christ was going to come, if there was a need, that Christ was going to come and die on the cross before he created everything. Okay? Now, think about this. Here's these angels that know about all this. All right? They turn up and they are full of praise and joy and it's all joyful. But they know what's going to happen. You ever think about that? You ever think about that? How is it possible that these angels turn up and they're singing praises to God? This is fantastic. God's Savior has come into the world and the cross is there. The cross is up the road and these guys are still joyful. What's going on here? Okay, let me ask you a question. You guys are doing good at answering questions. Who's recorded a state of origin match where their team has won? Anyone? Well, okay, we've got one person here. Okay. Now, you know that we can watch a State of Origin match, and you know we don't know who's going to win, all right? And it can be a really tough, hard game. But once the game's over and Queensland's won, I hope there's no visitors from, you know, that other place, okay? When we replay that, we see it differently, don't we? It doesn't matter how much you try, you can't help but watch the game differently. Because that thing we go, oh no, look, the Blues are 5 tries ahead, you know? Oh my goodness me. When you're playing the replay, you go, 5 tries. This is Queensland we're talking about. Or something like that. You see, these angels, the host of heaven, the people that knew the mind of God, the people that are part of that greater dimension, the joy that they have there says this, oh yes, oh yes, it's going to be a hard game. Oh yes, there's going to be blood and bruises. Oh yes, there's going to be setbacks. Oh yes, there's all these, but in the end, we win. You see, they're already celebrating the victory. They're already celebrating the victory. What victory? The victory that Christ won on the cross and that he is still winning in your life and mine as we're following him. That's what it means in Scripture when it says the victory has been won. And so at Christmas, when we hear that, even though they disappear, it should be an encouragement to us. It can be an encouragement to us. It can tell us this life isn't all there is. And not only that, but there's tremendous hope ahead for us. There's tremendous joy to be had. It's an incredible thing to know all that. All of heaven knew that. And they were delighted, even though they could see the cross. Doesn't change the cost of the cross. Don't ever think that. Don't ever think that. But it's an understanding of the outcome. And when we let that flow into our lives, it changes our lives. It changes our lives. Glory to God in the highest, they said. And on earth, peace to all on whom his favour rests. In other words, all those who are right with him. So as we move into 2020, okay, I want to encourage us to live in the reality of that. To live in the reality that there's much more than just what you're experiencing here and now. And that is the dimension that we'll be moving into. The reality that Jesus has won. The reality that all will be well in the end. Okay? In the end. That gives us hope. That can give us courage. It can give us joy. Wrongs will be righted. Justice will be done. Grace will abound. And if you and I have said yes to Jesus, have said yes to God, we will become what God created us to be in the first place. I love that wording of that song that we sang right at the start. Leave behind your regrets and mistakes. Come today, there's no reason to wait. Jesus is calling. Bring your sorrows and trade them for joy. From the ashes, new life is born. Jesus is calling. It is only if what we've talked about this morning is true that that makes sense. It's only because of what we've talked about that we can have confidence and trust in that. So this morning, I want to encourage us as we go into 2020 and as we keep going in our daily life, okay, 2020 is just a number, all right, in that. Remember this, this is not all there is. This is not all there is. And that great bigger picture can flow back into your life through Jesus as you allow Him to be your Lord, trust Him to be your Savior, and allow Him to create His image in you day by day. We're going to take a moment before we ask the team to come and lead us in the song and prayer to close. I just want to take a moment of quietness and ask you to just listen to God. Just listen to what He may be saying to you. It may be words of challenge. It may be words of encouragement. It may be encouraging you to base your life on the realities we've talked about this morning. Just do that quietly. Lord Jesus, this morning I ask that Your Spirit would encourage each one of us. Lord, that You would open our eyes to see more and more the truth that's sometimes behind the curtain that we see glimpses of, that from time to time we sense in our lives. Lord, I thank You that You didn't wait for us to come to You, but You came to us. And I thank You that You are ready and You are there as we say yes to You, to put Your Spirit into our lives, Your nature in us, and to grow us into the image of Christ day by day as we walk with You. Thank You so much for coming into this part of Your creation. Thank You so much that as we know You and as we trust You and walk with You and follow You, You open our eyes to see more and more the ultimate realities. And Lord, we can trust You and we can walk with You. We have hope, we have joy, and we have Your peace today and on into the future. Help us each one to grow in You and to grow in that awareness. In Jesus' name, amen.